This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here we go. Final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. That's 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's the number.
Hey, Rob, if I said every once in a while, wouldn't you think, you know, every few years or so?
Yeah.
Just trying to clarify.
We were having a conversation during the break about the Big Ten, and the point that that was made was by Joey B on the stream, which, by the way, you can, nay, should watch every single day, all 4 hours, 6 till 10 a.m. We are live on our stream, which you can find by going to facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or by searching and subscribing to The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We were talking about in the last segment the meetings taking place between athletic directors across the Big Ten and the Southeastern conferences in Nashville, Tennessee this week. And I brought it up to make the point that none of you should be shocked by the fact that the Big Ten and the SEC are meeting together because their plan is to strong arm the rest of college football and the NCAA into doing what they want, how they want.
But this has never really been secretive. I mean, they pretty much have put it out there what they're going to do. I mean, so why is it a surprise?
I don't frankly think it should be one. That was exactly my point. Is I was watching the social media reaction as the stories about what was actually happening with these meetings began to circulate across the social media landscape. I was watching people have all these reactions like, "Oh, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're trying to power play everybody." And my response was, of course they are. This is why, if you will go back just a couple of years, when the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness started to make the rounds, there were a bunch of folks, and I am talking about both the commoners like us and the big national talking heads. People started to demonize the players themselves. People started to demonize, oh, they're ruining college football. And I rushed to the defense of the players and said, whoa, let's hold our metaphorical, proverbial, and for some of you, Xavier Leggett, literal horses here for just a minute. Let's hang on just a hot second. Let's not put it on the players here, please and thank you. And let's not put it on the players here, because to me, there's a lot bigger problems with the college football changes over the years. There's a lot bigger problems out there than the players being able to make money on their own name and images and likenesses and their ability to decide where they want to go, where they want to be. There are bigger problems. And those bigger problems, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, Those bigger problems stem from the fact that the suits, the people in charge, the people that have the big offices up on top of their ivory towers, they want more and more and more and more. And this is why I've said, again, over and over and over, my dudes, my dudettes, life will be much easier for you if and when you get to the point, you come to the conclusion, you make the realization, you have the awakening, and you learn that they don't give a damn about you. They never have. It's very, very simple. They want to go get as much money as they can get, and there is literally nothing else. There is literally nothing else. The Big Ten and the SEC are not looking at wanting to organize and orchestrate some grand scheme where the scheduling betwixt the two lines up because they think we all want to see more SEC Big Ten games. Don't get me wrong. I do, for sure. At the end of the day, whatever it takes to organize it, we want to watch the best play the best. That's just the American way. This is why, no matter how hard, how loud, how long the choruses have been year after year, college football is better than the NFL. Will I argue that it is more dramatic? Game by game, year by year, sure. Will I argue that it provides more pageantry, more pride, more tradition, etc., etc.? Sure, I'll make that argument. I'm all good with that. But at the end of the day, whether you like it or whether you don't, at the end of the day, the NFL has better football. Better players on better teams playing better ball. And that's why audience numbers reflect that all the time. All the time. The NFL, Monday Night Football, has been the most watched football or most watched television program in America for as long as I can remember. We want to play. We want to watch the best play the best. We, to some degree, whether we like it or not, we're complicit in this happening, all right? I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm not part of the problem. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Because here's the thing. If you truly want college football because of the pageantry and the tradition and the pride and all that, you'd all be watching North Dakota State and South Dakota State. You'd all be down at Paladin Stadium every Saturday watching football. You'd all be watching FCS ball. Because I promise you, You want to say that you love college football because you love the players that have love of the game? Then watch FCS ball. The overwhelming majority of those cats, they ain't going pro and they know it. They know they've got whatever time that they've got playing lower level college football and not much else. You want to watch guys who are playing because they love the game? Watch lower level college football. But see, I don't believe that's the case. We want to watch the best football that we can put our eyeballs on. And so if the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, who, again, I do not think, especially with the ACC this year, for God's sakes, I don't think it can be argued that those are the best two conferences in college football right now. That's just a statement of fact. Even if the Big Ten is top heavy, and it is, there's three teams in that conference. Actually, I take that back. Michigan ain't that good this year. There's two teams in that conference. It's Ohio State and it's Oregon. Now, the conversation we were talking about on the stream just a minute ago was because I said, the Big Ten is going to make the argument that they should get four automatic bids to the playoffs. Joey B popped in and said there's no chance the fourth best team in the Big Ten is consistently good enough to deserve a playoff spot. Last year, even either of the new teams, that would have been 10-3 Penn State. And let's face it, the only way Penn State would ever make a playoff is if they expend the net wide enough for them to fall into. They're always pretty good playing a soft schedule until they play a good team and James Franklin the bed and they get embarrassed happens every year.
All right, in years past, maybe not this year, but in years past, who was the fourth best team in the SEC?
Take your pick. Tennessee.
Ole Miss. How's that any different?
Oh, it's not. Let me be real clear.
All right.
It's abso-damn-lutely not. All right? I am absolutely arguing that very rarely do either of these two conferences have a fourth team. I'm not saying never, but rarely do either of these conferences have a fourth team that you go, they should definitely get in. They should auto get in. The argument that I'm making here is, while I understand that he who has the you want to know what the real golden rule in life is? He who has the gold makes the rules. That's the real golden rule, all right? They're going to teach you youngsters growing up out there, the golden rule is treat others as you wish to be treated. No, the real golden rule is he who has the gold makes the rules.
Do unto others. Well, you basically said the same thing, I guess.
No. Do unto others is something that anybody can do. He who has the gold makes the rules is something very few people can do. But very few people got the gold to be able to make the rules. In this world, in this landscape, it's the Big Ten and the SEC. Here's the thing. If it was only about football, and there's too many of you guys out there that still talk about all of this as if the mindset is football. It's not. It's money. All right? It's money. If it was only about football, are Florida State and Clemson beating the doors down at every attorney within a 1,000-mile radius trying to find the one that can get them the hell out of the ACC? No. If it was only about football, if everything else was equal, and it was only about football, they'd want to stay in the ACC, right? It's an easier path to the playoffs every year. Just win a bad conference and you're in. And very frequently, if it's just the two of you, you're going to end up more often than not with a 13-0 champ and a 12-1 runner-up, and you're both going. But it's not. It's about the gold. They both went into either the Big Ten or the SEC so they can have some of it. And this is why I've said it's ugly, I don't like it, and it is also inevitable. There's going to be two different college footballs. There's going to be college football over here that is the Big Ten and the SEC, and whoever the hell they decide is worthy of an invitation. And then there's going to be college football over there, and it's going to be the new FCS. It's going to be everybody else. That's where your Boise States are going to be.
Does that change viewership, though?
Yes.
No, not yes. really. Because people want to watch the best.
I don't disagree.
Played.
Here's the thing. The people that are Boise State fans, they're still going to watch Boise State, right? They're also watching Georgia-Bama. You know how I know? Georgia and Alabama had a game that averaged over 12 million viewers on Saturday night. We want to watch the best play the best, okay? So what's going to happen is those schools in the Everybody Else League, which, by the way, I probably should change the name from the EEC, the Everybody Else Conference, to the Everybody Else League at this point. And it may be 10 years from now, maybe 15 years from now, maybe 5 years from now. But what's going to end up happening is the SEC and the Big Ten are going to end up, even if they don't officially abandon the NCAA, they're going to end up in a world where they are so big that they're just going to play themselves and each other pretty much week in, week out. Pretty much week in, week out. And then everybody else is going to have to go like somewhere else to do their own thing. Everybody else is going to have to go somewhere else to play. The Mountain West and the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC, they're all going to have to lean on each other just for survival. Because Do you think ESPN is going to go, all right, Saturday, we can pick from one of these nine SEC versus Big Ten games, or we can put on Boise State versus Washington? Here's the thing, and this is why I've said we're complicit too. You know which one of those games you're watching. I know which one of those games I'm watching. They're right. They're right. The eyeballs are going to the SEC Big Ten school. Big Ten game, pardon me. It doesn't make it suck less. This is why, to go back to what I've been saying, this is why I have said for a while now, I am not going to sit idly by and allow people to accuse college football players of destroying college football. Everything that you know and love about college football traditionally is on the altar to be sacrificed by the Big Ten and the SEC so that they can get more money and more power. That's it. The meetings they're having in Nashville right now are solely, how do we get more money? How do we get more power? We don't give a damn about anybody else. And yes, I fully believe that ESPN is complicit in this. This is why I got mad about it last year. When all you guys said, oh, Rob, get over it. You're just salty. You're a Florida guy, upset that a team that you used to cover is getting... No. It just happened to be Florida State. I would have been just as upset if it was Florida, a school I actively dislike. If it was Miami, a school that I have openly told you I am hostile against. I would have been just as upset if it was those schools, because those schools are the representation of the EEC. And if ESPN is willing to tilt the table in favor of the SEC and the Big Ten, how can they survive? How can they win? I don't think they can. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get away from that and go into something less buzzkilly. Rob Alonso, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. So we talked a little bit earlier, and I'm actually gonna run it again for you. Aaron Rodgers had some comments that he made about about quarterback development in the National Football League. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And he said this. So, Aaron Rodgers says, look, here's the deal. It takes quarterbacks longer to develop. And he blames it partially on, and I think he's correct, the fact that playing quarterback at the NFL is different than playing quarterback in college. It just by default is. There is more to know. There is more to see. There is more to work around. It's a different style. He points out the fact that, you know, at the NFL level, you're taking a lot more. I mean, think about how many times, in fact, this Saturday, I want you to look for it. Watch how many snaps under center any quarterback takes. Very few anymore, right? Like, very few. In the NFL, a lot of them are. right? I mean, it's definitely more spread than it used to be. But at the NFL level, a lot more snaps are taken under center. That's a very small thing, but at the same time, right now, go down to Bill in accounting, hand him a football, tell him turn around, bend over, and try to take a snap. All right? Make sure he knows you're talking about a football. Bend and snap. Legally Blonde. Great movie. Great movie. The point here is Aaron Rodgers is a person that I don't agree on very much with Aaron Rodgers, but he and I are lockstep on this one. And we've had this conversation before. I truly, honestly, genuinely, and entirely think that we are treating rookie quarterbacks around the league very poorly. I think the illustration of that this year, more than anything else, is Caleb Williams. Number one overall draft pick from the Chicago Bears. He is the end result of the trade that Carolina made with Chicago that allowed them to have the pick to get Caleb Williams and sent Bryce Young to the Panthers. When you look at Caleb Williams, when he got drafted, that guy was named QB1 before he ever put on a blue uniform, right? Not a practice, not a scrimmage, not a camp day, nothing. That man was labeled QB1 before he tasted Chicago pizza. But it wasn't just that he was labeled QB1. He was labeled the Windy City Savior before he put on a helmet. The Bears fans were just convinced we're saved. This is the guy. This is the dude. We are saved. I got to tell you, handling that much pressure is not something many people are accustomed to or, frankly, good at. That's a lot to put on a kid. And while Caleb Williams in the last couple of, really the last game, he's had one game so far that he looked good, I think you could see that early in the season out of Caleb Williams. He looked overwhelmed. He looked exhausted. He looked like the pressure had gotten to him. You know what he looked like? He looked like the young rookie quarterback version of what Aaron Rodgers looked like in his post-game press conference after the loss this weekend to the Broncos. Lonzo and I were watching the TV Monday morning during the show. And Aaron Rodgers, there was a clip from his post-game presser. And Lonzo looks at me and he goes, he looks old. Not like football old. Not like beat up. I just played a football game on. Just regular old. You know that moment when you're growing up where, I don't know if it happened to you, it happened to me. You know that moment when you're growing up, when you look at your dad and you see him as like a regular guy now? Or you look at your mom and you see her as a regular woman now, right? They're not that superhero anymore. Like you see the age, you see the gray setting in, you see the bags under the eyes, you see the wrinkles, the crow's feet starting to form, and you go, oh, they're not an immortal super being or like
in,
I saw.
In my case, my mom's 5'2". So eventually I'm looking down instead of looking up at. Yeah, yeah.
That's what we got with Aaron Rodgers.
See, it reminds me more of, you see the pictures of when someone is elected president and then they show him like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Because of all the weight of, you know, running the country.
I think that might even be more apt than the parent one, right? I think that actually might be more apt than the parent one. When you levy that much responsibility onto the shoulders of a person, it's going to age them. Especially if they have some sort of feeling of responsibility. If it matters to them that they do the job in a way that benefits the most people, right? As opposed to just, I'm in this job because I wanted it. If you are talking about someone who genuinely feels the pressure not to succeed for them, but to succeed for all the people around and under them,
I think it's more of someone who comes in kind of young and then they look old, not someone who comes in.
I don't disagree, but what I'm saying is old, young, whatever. If someone is elected into a position of responsibility that their success or failure immediately elevates or deprecates the lives of the people that put them into that position, and they care about that. And I do think quarterbacks care about that, at least most of them. Just like I think, I don't want to say most, I'll say most. I think most politicians do care about making the lives of their constituents better. Not all, but many do. And I think you can tell the ones that do. So if a guy like Caleb Williams gets thrown into Chicago and the people of Chicago immediately start proclaiming him the Windy City Savior, that pressure is just, it's deflating. Right? It just it falls down on them. And so when you take a guy like a Caleb Williams or a Bryce Young and you put that much responsibility on them, and oh, by the way, almost exclusively, these guys end up on absolutely booty cheeks teams. Just bad teams. And you put them on a bad team, and very frequently, not exclusively, but very frequently, you put them on bad teams with coaches who are fighting for their lives. Matt Eberflus came into this season fighting for his life. Frank Reich last year went into that season in Carolina fighting for his reputation. And this is why I've said in years gone by, for a lot of these coaches, they don't care about the development of the quarterback. They care about winning games and, frankly, not much else. And again, I think to some degree that makes sense. But they care about winning games because they care about their job, their reputation. And if you care more about winning games than developing a quarterback, you're not going to develop that quarterback because you're not dialed in on that. And that has to be something that you have to focus on. This is why I've said, Dan Morgan and Dave Canales know if Bryce Young's not their guy. If they've already made the decision that they're out on him, send him somewhere. Send him to Miami. Let him go see if he can learn fast enough to replace Tua. Because what they got right now in TJ Huntley ain't it. But if you're not going to do that, then please recognize that developing a rookie quarterback is going to take a lot of time. That's why guys like Sam Darnold and Derek Carr and all these guys that are having rejuvenated years this year, that's why. Because some of them it's going to take 6-7 years. But when they do, they do. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, I'm just going to respond to a bunch of texts and tweets and emails we've gotten so far this morning here. Because I want to. James said the national host will blame Chicago's coaches for 18 months for not giving Caleb help. James, they'd be right. And let me clarify this. I said coming into the season, I think Caleb Williams has come into the best situation regarding the roster around him of any quarterback in recent memory. I think he came into a better roster than C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, Will Levis, any Jaden Daniels. I think he came into the best roster situation of any of these guys. I also think he came into probably the second or third worst coaching situation of any of these guys as well. Eberflus was already hot-seated coming into this year. He was hot-seated because of the reason the Bears were in the position to draft this guy. Because they had they weren't going to have the number one overall pick. That was going to be Carolina. But they were bad enough in his tenure to have high enough draft picks that they could send to Carolina to justify Carolina sending them over the number one pick for this year in return for the number one pick last year. He was already on the hot seat. And so this is why I have been saying for a hot minute now that if you're looking at the Chicago Bears and you suddenly expected that one player was going to overcome the everything else that has been bad in Chicago for a couple of years, if it did not include either a coaching change or B, at the very least, a massive coaching philosophy change, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. So Chicago can say one thing that Carolina cannot say. At least they set up Caleb Williams with talented players around him to give him the best chance to succeed. But the other thing Chicago can say, must say, in my opinion, is you brought him into a crap coaching situation with a coach that nobody knew if he would. He barely survived last year, and it took a pretty, I'll give the credit where the credit's due, it took a pretty spectacular back half of the season from Justin Fields last year to save Matt Eberflus's job for this year and give him a chance to coach up Caleb Williams.
Wow, you just said something positive about...
I'll say a lot of positive about Justin Fields. I just think it's going to take some time. That's all. And I don't think that's disrespectful to the young former Buckeye at all. To say everything was so bad in Chicago that I think it will take time. And I could be wrong. I said that as well. Could be wrong. And he did look better last weekend, Justin Fields.
They're 3-1, I think. So, I mean.
They are. Again, they also were a +500 team last year. Who was the Steelers quarterback last year? Exactly. So.
Pickett? No.
Baby Hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was one of them.
Yeah, they had like a couple.
By the way, did you see the Mason Rudolph story? Mason Rudolph is the backup quarterback for Tennessee. So Will Levis got, and I'm gonna quick segue, and then I'm going to go to another text we got just a minute ago. Mason Rudolph is the backup quarterback in Tennessee. Mason Rudolph got called into action this weekend because Will Levis went down with a shoulder injury early in the game. There was a guy that was at the game, a Tennessee fan from Nash Vegas, and he made a video at the game. And he said, y'all, I was talking, his girlfriend was with him at the game. And he's like, y'all, I was talking with my girlfriend. And when they announced that, and I saw a write-up of the story after it happened, so I may not have all the details 100% correct, but it's pretty close. There was a guy at the game, and when they announced that Mason Rudolph was entering the game, my girlfriend kind of like went wide-eyed for a second. And she's like, did they just say Mason Rudolph? And the guy said, yeah, why? And she pulls out her phone and opens up, I believe, Instagram. And she goes, he slid into my DMs today. And she pulled up the messages, allegedly, from Mason Rudolph's verified account, where he was just like, throwing game at this guy's girlfriend on game day in a game that he got pulled up in. She's like, I didn't know who it was, so I was just ignoring him. I didn't interact with him. I didn't reach out to him. He just saw my picture because I guess she had on Titans gear or something, saw my picture and slid into my DMs asking me out. And the dude's like, yeah, well, he just killed my three-leg parlay, so don't talk to him anymore. I was like, yeah, that's probably not the reason for her not to talk to him, but like, I respect the hustle. I respect the grind. Anyway, love that Mason Rudolph is dropping the who wants to sex Rudolph on this lady.
I don't know if he
doesn't work like Mutombo, does it?
I don't know. Have you seen him? I mean, you know.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Mason Rudolph isn't carrying the charisma around with him that lets him walk into the nightclub and drop a Who Wants to Sex Mutombo on the ladies.
You know he's from here, right?
I mean, no, I didn't. Yeah. I also don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it just adds a little something to it. He's from Rock Hill. So, I mean, you know.
I'm just saying, I don't think.
So he's got some South Carolina moves to
it. I mean, great. I don't think he's got Who Wants to Sex Rudolph vibes. That's all I'm saying.
Well, by the way, saying that just sounds totally wrong. It just, yeah, I mean.
Who Wants to Sex Rudolph?
She said I'm cute.
Oh, I did it last night, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you did the thing? I don't want to know if you did something else.
Yeah, so. I said Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown? She didn't. Okay. She walked in the door and I was back in the bedroom because that's where the generator plug is set up right now. And I came out of the bedroom and I looked and I went, Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown? And she was halfway in the door. She looks down the hallway at me and she goes, ugh, and just closes the door with her outside of it. She went back outside. She came halfway in. I said, Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown? And she went, ugh, and closed the door. I don't know what she did outside. She didn't come in for like 5 more minutes. I don't know what she went out there to do.
Maybe she was laughing.
No, I don't think so.
Because it was a funny joke, not anything else.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you know.
No. She came back in and told me not to talk to her, which is fair. She opened the door and she didn't get a, hey, babe, I missed you. I hope you had a good day. I hope work was good. I hope you got a promotion. I hope your boss was nice. I bought you some flowers. I cleaned the kitchen. She got none of that. She opened the door after a 9-hour day at work, which, by the way, I'm not going to reveal where she is, but suffice to say, she's a necessary employee at a place that's very important to the recovery efforts of the upstate of South Carolina. So her job was not like ours where, yeah, we got some stuff to do, but we also have got 4.5 hours where we just sit around and goof off and have a good time, right? She has a real job, a stressful job, a job where if she screws up, it makes life harder for a lot of other people. She had a 9-hour day of that kind of day, came home, opened the door to her home, to her husband of 11 days, who greeted her after her second day of 9-hour days at a mandatory real job with the words, Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown? So she closed the door, went back outside, came in about 5 minutes later, and said nothing to me. Not a word.
Someone told her. I mean, you said it 1,000 times yesterday. She knew it was that you were going to do that. And maybe back in her mind, she believed, nah, he's not. That's just he's not really going to do that. And then you did it.
Oh, I did it.
You seem pretty proud about it, too, by the way.
I told you the victory was not going to be whether or not we ended up doing the old unskinny bop, 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 bop. The victory was just having that moment, okay? The victory was just having that moment, and I had that moment. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to say it was as good as the old Oingo Boingo. I'm just going to say it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Well, I mean, you were a good distance before you did it, too, which is probably a smart move.
Oh, I was on the other side of the house.
Yeah, other side of the house. I mean, you know, you might have got hit.
James says, Who Wants to Sex Jimbo has a success rate of 0%. I can now tell you Who Wants to Sex Rob Brown has a success rate of 0%. I am batting zero, all right?
So just zero. You going to give it another shot today? I mean, you know.
Not today. I will give it a few days.
Okay.
I will give it a few days, and in memory of Dikembe freaking Mutombo, I will try again next week. The only way that whole thing gets better is if she looked at me and said, which she did, but she didn't say it like Dikembe Mutombo. She just said it like herself. which is fair. Again, 9-hour, very stressful job with other people's well-being depending on her success or failure, and she got greeted by her husband of 11 days with, "Who wants to sex Rob Brown?"
See, that's the thing. You were trying to relieve the stress that you had throughout the day by being funny. Yeah,
I thought it was hilarious. Texas said, "Rob, I can fix college football right now. Divide all teams into four leagues. First to fourth, top of the top 50% of each league makes the playoffs for the league champ, and second place move up to the next league. Last and second to last are relegated to lower leagues." Listen, I love the idea. I'm a big promotion and relegation guy. The soccer world has been doing it for 1,000 years, and they keep doing it because it keeps on working. But here is the thing.
It's America,
the
man.
Thing
you don't
is,
do that in America. Come
you
on.
Do. Absolutely. It freaking no. works. And we don't do that because America is a real dumb argument for not doing something.
Says you.
But no, that, okay. Now, put that aside for a minute and why Lonzo's wrong. Let's talk about it this way. They're not going to get on board with that. Do you know why? Because if you get relegated, you make less money. That's it. That's it.
Which
if you
right.
get relegated, you make less money. So a school that is already in the dance and is already benefiting from being in the dance is not going to say, "Yeah, I will risk accepting less money so that Rob and his listening audience, the Armada, like football more." It's not gonna happen. Texter said, "Rob, that was a TikTok of a girl and a guy in a Dolphins jersey, but she is a well-known betting pundit. It was wagertainment." Oh, I got got. All right. Well, I was wagertained.
No way. You got got.
Cornchip texted the show and said, "My wife will catch an assault charge if I pull that with her. I'd get my ass whooped." Cornchip, you're telling me if Mrs. Cornchip walks in the house and you hit her with a, "Who wants to sex Cornchip?" that it's not going to work?
Yeah,
come
that
on,
also
man.
Does not sound right at all. It sounds kind of...
Come on, man.
Sounds kind of weird. Maybe use your real name when you do it. Unless your real name actually is Cornchip, but I'm pretty sure it's not. The first thing that's Xing is, it's hard. Today was difficult because, you know, what's trending all over the place, and I'm going to try to stay away from that. First thing that's Xing is CM Punk.
CM Punk was the special guest referee in a championship match on NXT where former South Carolina Gamecock Trick Willie style is your new NXT heavyweight champion.
Two time.
And then he bought pizza for everybody in the arena, which I thought was very nice of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of works. I mean, he bought ice cream last, but he only does it in Chicago. They're in
yeah,
Chicago.
For sure.
I mean, buying food for your hometown.
It's a dope move.
Also,
and buying them
also,
their
did you,
food.
Did you see the shorts?
I did see the shorts.
Yeah.
More importantly, I saw him steal HBK's hat.
Yeah.
And more importantly than that, I saw HBK without a hat.
Yeah, you don't. It's not. He's
Sean?
Just,
Sean? Bick.
No.
Just let it go.
No.
Like Elsa. Let it go. Let it go.
No.
Don't hold it back
listen,
anymore.
Listen, I mean, you can spray something up there, or, I mean, go like to Bosley or something. I mean, you can afford it. You're
let
making
it
some
go.
Money in NXT.
Let it go.
You know what? Weaves. Everybody there's doing weaves. If Sean puts a weave in his hair, I'm okay with it.
Let it go. Let it go. You got no hair no more.
All right. The
Jim
next
said HBK losing all his hair is a horrible reminder of our own mortality.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Weave that stuff.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And for a while there, he was doing it and still had the ponytail, and it was very much the wise man vibes on him. And
there's only one person with worse hair than him in wrestling, brother.
Yes. All right. The next thing that's Xing is sticking with wrestling because I just have to. Halloween Havoc.
Is that this weekend?
No.
Okay, good. So I got a week to figure my life out.
It's on the 27th, but the reason why it's Xing is because someone made her return last night, and it's causing a wonderful triple threat.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Core Jade returned last night. I haven't seen any. I've just seen clips because no electricity. So,
correct.
I mean, you know, looking forward to being able to watch wrestling, but
you know, disappointment yesterday.
It was on the CW, and it was their debut on the CW, which is a pretty big deal, and went really well. Apparently,
the disappointment yesterday Because the whole drive home, I said, you know what I'm going to do when I get home? I'm going to go home, I'm going to air fry up some chicken tendies, and I'm going to watch some pro wrestling and get all caught up. And then I got home and remembered, you ain't doing none of that.
Yep.
You ain't doing not a one of those things.
That's why you should hang around here, and you know, and I can watch when you're watching. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Iran.
Iran so far away, and Iran. No, I shouldn't be making jokes about this. Iran fired like 100 missiles, rockets.
I think it was like 200, but it was a lot
of rockets.
It was a whole lot
into Israel yesterday, and of course, a lot of people the last couple of years, they've been like, oh, we're on the verge of World War III. I'm like, hey, relax, calm down a little bit. Like, yeah, it's bad. It's not exactly ideal, but like, we're not there yet.
Not
when a global superpower that is either at or very near nuclear capability is launching rockets, barrages, whether or not you agree with Israel, when you have one country shooting hundreds of rockets into another country, there's not a lot you can do to walk away from that. Yesterday was probably the first time in a minute I'm like, so we're just going to blow up the world. Cool. All right, got it. Just do me a favor. Wait until after the Super Bowl. Can we have one more Super Bowl before we burn it all to the ground?
Three-peat, baby.
I'd like to see if the Chiefs can make history before we light the world on fire, please and thank you.
All right, just because I want to. The last thing that's X-ing is Don Rickles.
Why is Don Rickles one of my favorite comedians of all time? Why is Don Rickles training?
The faces that one of the participants in the
okay.
in a debate last night.
Very fair.
Or maybe,
very fair.
And I didn't see it till I saw it was trending. I was like, oh, yeah, there it is
there. Listen, it's just like every other debate in the history of every debate. Your guy won and the other guy lost.
Of course.
Just your guy won, the other guy lost. I am going to say this. Yes, he had some Don Rickles faces. I am also going to say J.D. Vance had some Jim Halpert third wall breaking camera stare moments. That had me rolling.
Yeah.
Had me absolutely rolling. Hey, that's it for us. Appreciate you guys being here. Hope that you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll come back tomorrow when we do it all over again, but better. I'm Rob. No, you got to wait till August next year before we blow up the world. I want to get that three-peat of the SCBA sports broadcast of the year. You get it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go.
Goodbye.